It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Parrott. Coming up, now that warmer weather is starting to arrive in fits and starts, mosquitoes are on their way. We'll talk to a science journalist about some of the efforts to genetically modify mosquitoes to help control the population around the world.
First, how should Wisconsin's prisoners spend their time behind bars? It's a question our guest says all Wisconsinites have a stake in, because almost all inmates will eventually be released back into society.
That's why he's making the case for implementing a good conduct time policy in state prisons. Wisconsin has the highest incarceration rate for black men of any state in the country, and despite having a similar population in Minnesota, has twice the number of incarcerated people.
Here with us to explain good conduct time is Michael O'Hear, Associate Dean for Research and Professor of Law at Marquette Law School. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, can you start by explaining what good conduct time is?
Sure. Good conduct time is a program that allows prison inmates to earn credits toward an accelerated release from prison. Now, I refer to this sometimes as good conduct time. In a lot of states, it's referred to as good time, and that's, I guess, a little less of a mouthful to say, so maybe we should refer to it as good time now. But it is a program that is in use in most American states. It's in use in the federal prison system. It's even in use in Wisconsin in our jails, our county locally administered penal facilities, but it is not something which is done in the state prison system.
You said it's in use in other states. How does it affect release times there?
Well, it varies a lot from state to state. There are some states which allow inmates to earn day-for-day credit. So, in other words, every day that the inmate manages to avoid disciplinary problems and otherwise complies with the institutional requirements. Every day the inmate does that, the inmate earns 1 day's extra credit, so that in effect the prison term could be cut in half. That's at the outside of what some states do. There are other states which are much more limited in the amount of credit that they give. So maybe in some other states you would only be able to reduce the length of your prison term by 10% to 15%. And, of course, all of this, when we talk about reducing prison term, is assuming that the prisoner stays out of trouble and complies with all the requirements of the Good Time program.
Well, let's talk a little more specifically about what an inmate has to do to earn it. What sorts of things might they do to get credit?
Well, first and foremost, the inmate needs to stay out of trouble to avoid disciplinary infractions. Now, there are some states where that's all an inmate needs to do, is to stay out of trouble to get the maximum credit. There are other states which require that the inmate also either do employment or education or rehabilitative programming. And actually, those are the states that I think have had the best success with good time programs. And that's the sort of program which I think should be considered for Wisconsin, a program which would require both staying out of trouble and also doing something constructive like employment or education or some other kind of rehabilitative programming.
Can you make the case for why it matters how inmates spend their time when they're in prison?
Well, absolutely. People who go to prison almost always come back from prison. The number of life sentences that we hand out in Wisconsin and nationally is very, very small relative to the overall size of the prison population. So we send these people away, but they're going to come back, and they're going to come back within the space of a few years, most of them. So we should care an awful lot about how they are spending their time in prison, because that is going to have a big impact on what happens to them when they return to the community. It has an impact on recidivism, that is to say, the likelihood that they will commit additional crimes once released from prison. And the way that they spend their time in prison also has other effects as well. It affects their ability to reintegrate with their families, to step back into positions of family responsibility, their ability to get employment and become contributing members of the community, become taxpayers, and so forth. So we send people away to prison. Almost all of them are going to come back again. And we should all want them to be successful when they come back. We should all care a lot about whether they are reintegrating into the community or not. And you can't expect to send somebody away to a situation where they've got nothing to do for several years and are living in an environment in which they have no hope and no activities. You can't do that and expect them suddenly, upon the time of their release, to be prepared to be productive, law-abiding members of the community again.
On the other hand, one strong point of view on prison is that it's at least in some sense punitive. Do you see it that way?
Well, sure. We send people to prison in part to convey a message of condemnation for behavior that is socially unacceptable. But that that message of condemnation can be sent without then creating a situation in prison where people will come back out and be bound to fail. Sending someone to prison is a pretty tough punishment in and of itself. If you just pause for a moment to think about the kind of deprivations that people suffer in prison, the kind of environment that they're forced to live in. Our prisons in Wisconsin are about 25% over capacity, so these are very crowded environments. They're environments in which one is subject to a great deal of control, daily humiliations and degradations. One's ability to remain in contact with one's family members and friends is profoundly constrained, so on and so forth. So so we have plenty of punishment, plenty of condemnation when we send people away to prison and tell them they have to stay there for a certain period of time. And I'm just suggesting that we think about ways of combining that condemnation with some constructive activities that will prepare people to avoid doing things in the future that that merit further condemnation.
Prison reform is a top agenda item right now as states face big taxpayer burdens, prison overcrowding. How is putting good conduct time in place going to help that, maybe?
Well, I think that good conduct time should be part of a broader set of reforms to sentencing and corrections. Good conduct time has been proven in other states to reduce recidivism rates for prisoners when they're returned to society. Good conduct time also has been demonstrated to reduce rates of disciplinary infractions in prison. And so when you've got good conduct time, the prisons can be run in a safer and more efficient manner because corrections officials aren't having to spend all of their time dealing with disciplinary infractions. So the better environment in prison contributes to the ability for prisoners to use their time more constructively, and then through good conduct credits, they have the incentives to use the time more constructively. So I would see good conduct time as one reform that would certainly help to further a number of important public policy objectives. I've emphasized reducing recidivism rates, reducing disciplinary rates. Over the long run, it can also help reduce the size of the prison population. And, of course, we've got a billion-plus dollar corrections budget here in Wisconsin. It's risen dramatically over the past couple of decades. And taxpayers certainly should have an interest in seeing the size of that corrections budget come down.
Now, when Wisconsin passed Truth in Sentencing, it did away with the parole system. How would this be different than parole?
Well, it's quite different than parole. The parole system that was eliminated through the Truth in Sentencing law in the 1990s, permitted inmates to obtain parole potentially as early as the one-quarter mark in the sentence. So that's in and of itself much more generous than any good time program that I'm aware of, and the kind of good time program that I would suggest that Wisconsin adopt would be modeled on that of Washington State. Washington State permits a maximum one-third reduction in the length of the prison term. So for one thing, good conduct time would keep inmates in prison much longer than the old parole system did. Another issue with the old parole system is that it was seen as being very unpredictable, very subjective. There was a parole commission that would decide whether prisoners were released or not. The criteria that the parole commission used were very vague. And it was very hard for people to, particularly people on the outside, to predict when exactly an inmate would be deemed fit for release under the parole system. But with good conduct time, the criteria are very objective. The amount of credits that can be earned for different behaviors is spelled out very clearly in advance, so everyone knows. The old parole system was said sometimes to spring some nasty surprises on crime victims, that crime victims would all of a sudden learn that the offender is out walking the streets again without any advance warning that might happen. Good conduct time, because it operates in an objective manner, is much easier to keep everybody informed of what's going on. In fact, something that's done in a lot of prison systems is that you can see it all on a publicly accessible website. Go to the Department of Corrections website, type in the information about the offender, and you can see exactly how much good conduct time credit has been earned and what the projected release date is. So what I'm talking about with good conduct time is quite different than the parole system that was eliminated in the 1990s. It's much less generous, it's much more objective, and much more transparent.
Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Michael O'Hear, Associate Dean for Research and Professor of Law at Marquette Law School, making the case for implementing good conduct time in Wisconsin's prisons.